Hey, what's up? This is Toby Mack with news of another real-life Jesus freak.
Every year, Christians are laying down their lives for Christ. Each death is a loss and a victory. As Paul wrote in Philippians, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Still, we grieved at the voice of the martyrs when we heard that on July 1st, four gunmen pushed their way into the home of Muhammad Yusuf Bhatt and shot him to death. He was a friend and a vibrant voice, sharing Christ with Muslims in Kashmir for more than 15 years. He leaves behind a wife and three children. Will you join in prayer for the family and legacy of Muhammad Yusuf Bhatt? For more, go online to persecution.com.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do if they find that it's true?
Hey, what's up? This is Michael Tate with the story of another real-life Jesus freak. It's 1890, China. Cheng, a thief and a womanizer, had gone blind. But when his eyesight is partially restored at the mission hospital, he gratefully accepts Jesus as his savior. A missionary testing Cheng to make sure his conversion is genuine and not just emotional gives him a challenge. Go and tell your neighbors how you have changed. When I visit, if you are still following Jesus, I will baptize you. 5 months later, the missionary is astonished to see 400 others waiting with Cheng to be baptized. In the years to follow, Cheng would lead thousands to salvation before he is beheaded, a martyr for the gospel of Christ.
Will you stand with the voice of the martyrs? Go online to persecution.com.
K-A-Y-T, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do if they find that it's true?
Hey, what's up? This is Michael Tate with a challenge for all Jesus freaks from the Voice of the Martyrs.
In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Does that idea inspire you? John Keith Falconer, a 19th century Scottish missionary to the Middle East, confirmed the urgency of being a light to the world. He said, "I have but one candle of life to burn, and I would rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than in a land flooded with light." So the question we all must ask is, when and where does my light shine? For more from the Voice of the Martyrs, go online to persecution.com.
People been saying to your friend, get a different face, and posting on their feed, they're super ugly. The things they say to them online are cruel and they're not true. So tell your friend, I'll stand up for you. Don't worry, I know what to do.
Know someone being bullied online? You can be a witness and make a difference by letting the world know it isn't cool and by letting your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do if they find that it's true?
Hey, what's up? This is Toby Mack with news of another real-life Jesus freak.
Every year, Christians are laying down their lives for Christ. Each death is a loss and a victory. As Paul wrote in Philippians, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Still, we grieved at the voice of the martyrs when we heard that on July 1st, four gunmen pushed their way into the home of Muhammad Yusuf Bhatt and shot him to death. He was a friend and a vibrant voice, sharing Christ with Muslims in Kashmir for more than 15 years. He leaves behind a wife and three children. Will you join in prayer for the family and legacy of Muhammad Yusuf Bhatt? For more, go online to persecution.com.
Aw, you know kids will be kids.
Oh, I don't know why they're trying to make a big deal of it. It's just a harmless rite of passage.
If she didn't want to be picked on, she shouldn't wear that thing on her head.
If he's going to dress that way, he's just asking for the extra attention.
It's just a stage. All kids face some bullying. They'll get over it.
That girl, she just brings it on herself. I don't feel bad for her at all.
It's just a stage. All kids get some.
It's just a stage.
It's just a harmless rite of passage.
Don't validate. Eliminate. All students in Louisiana deserve a safe learning environment without the threat of bullying. I'm Debbie Moe, president of the Louisiana Association of Educators. It is up to us as educators, as parents, as adults to stand up on behalf of bullied students. Identify, intervene, and advocate. One caring adult can make all the difference.
Visit nea.org/bullyfree. A message from the Louisiana Association of Educators.
All students in Louisiana deserve a safe learning environment without the threat of bullying. I'm Debbie Moe, president of the Louisiana Association of Educators. It is up to us as educators, as parents, as adults to stand up on behalf of bullied students. Identify, intervene, and advocate. One caring adult can make all the difference.
Visit nea.org/bullyfree. A message from the Louisiana Association of Educators.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
For your goodness, for your mercy, we bless you. We love you so much. We appreciate your goodness to all of us. For this day, oh God, we thank you for your love, your kindness, your forgiveness, your provisions, your protection. We bless you, oh God. You're so worthy to be praised. Lord, we lift you. Thank you for this worship experience, this time with you to love on you and let you love on us. Have mercy upon us, O God, where we've fallen short. We may have missed the mark, sinned against you. Lord, we thank you that you give us another chance to be better for you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir, for healing us, for strengthening us, for lifting us, for restoring us, for saving us, for making ways for us. We thank you, sir. You are God. And you are God alone. Now, God, we come in this worship experience needing to hear from you. And I pray, God, that the atmosphere has already been set, that you may share what you have your people to know. I yield myself to you, God. All of my members, I yield to you, that you may allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me, speak to me, and speak for me. And while I pray today that somebody will be saved, some soul, will be encouraged, body of Christ will be edified, you be glorified, and the devil be horrified. And we've seen so much now, we've seen enough to know that you're gonna do it. And so we praise you in advance, we bless you in advance for how much better it's gonna get. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, bless the Lord one more time all over the room. Amen. To God be the glory for the things he has done. For we confess he's done great and mighty things, and we ought to bless his holy name. Anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord today? To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To all of our ministers, to our leadership, and to all of you who are assembled here today, and to those online, we thank God for you as well. On this blessed Sunday morning, that God has said yes to you and I being in the house of the Lord one more time. Anybody glad to be alive? Anybody glad to be giving God glory? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So good to see you in the house of the Lord. We're not just here for worship. Worship is why we're here, but also a benefit of our worship is being able to make memories one with another. What a blessing it is to be a part of something bigger than yourself. Thank God. To be a part of something bigger than you. To know that someone's going to be encouraged just by seeing your face, being in your presence, hearing you speak. And we praise God for that. We don't give up. We don't take it for granted. These moments we have to make memories one with another. We could be here right now, and by this evening, we could not be here anymore. And so we got to learn how not to take God for granted and not to take each other for granted. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord amongst wonderful people such as you. Amen. Amen. There is a word from the Lord today we want to share with you. Book of Exodus, chapter number 17. Exodus chapter 17, there's a word we want to lift for your consideration. Exodus chapter 17, we want to commence reading at verse number 8. Exodus chapter 17, beginning at verse number 8. Be reading today from the New Living Translation of the Word of God. It was still God's Word, yet and still. Exodus chapter 17, verse number 8. And the Word of God reads thusly. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose ye some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill, holding the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired, he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, "Write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. I'll erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar there and named it Jehovah Nissi, which means "The Lord is my banner." He said, "They have raised their fist against the Lord's throne, so now the Lord will be at war with Amalek generation after generation." Say amen for the word of God. Grass withers, the flowers fade thereof, the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. Do me a favor, look at your cute neighbor. By now you ought to stop sitting next to somebody you don't think is cute. Because you never know when I have you look at them. Look to your cute neighbor. To your uncute neighbor, I'll be back with you in just a moment. But look at your cute neighbor. And say to him, "Good morning, neighbor. Good morning. Glad to see you. You made two good decisions. You came to worship, and you sat by me." God's word today, if we do this right, we'll win. That was the wrong neighbor. Find you one more neighbor. And look that neighbor in the eye. Say, "Neighbor, oh neighbor, God's word to us today, if we do this right, we'll win. Give God praise in advance for his word. If we do this right, we'll win. Oh, beloved, be careful today about letting life's circumstances isolate you from everyone else. You're not the first one to go through what you're going through, and you won't be the last. The enemy has a way of trying to trick you in your mind and make you humiliated by your hurt, embarrassed by your affliction, so that you won't reach out and receive strength and help that you need. I'm a firm believer, and I stand on the word of God to help me say to make this statement that we are better together. We are better together. The people of God, we are called to be a body of Christ. None of us were meant or designed or created to live this life by ourselves. There's no such thing as a self-made man. There's no such thing as a self-made woman. Somebody had to help you on this journey, and somebody will continue to have to help you on this journey. God, in his infinite godness, will ordain and preordain and cause for people to be in your life, to cross your path, that you may be a blessing to them and they be a blessing to you. Even so much so that if you happen to be infirm in your body, and God will be so much God in your life that even if you go to the doctor, God will have you go to the right doctor. God will have you go to somebody who knows how to pray. And they'll pray with you before you even get in that surgery room. They'll pray with you before you even have a diagnosis, because they know the same God that you know. There is a God, God in his likeness. Before you go to a bank needing a loan, if you go to the wrong officer, they won't know God and have a hookup with heaven. But God will have it so set that you can go to the right loan officer who's already talked to God and say, God, how can I be a blessing to someone today? And lo and behold, here you come, a child of God needing God to meet a need in your life and hook you up with the right person to help meet that need. You got to learn that people need people. We need each other. We need to help each other. We need to live amongst each other. We need to love. We need to learn how to encourage and to empower. We need to learn how to lift each other. It's a shame that even on the third Sunday in 2026, we still got to tell God's people that we need each other. It's not just you, God, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has you connected to other people. And the Holy Ghost in you hooks up with the Holy Ghost in them. And then you see real power when the people of God, let me help you today. You by yourself are not the only powerful person. But when you come together with other believers, that's real firepower. Now we can really stomp out the devil. Now we can really make the enemy flee. But if you keep acting like it's just you by yourself, we'll never have true victory. And I understand today, y'all, that many of us come, and you got to grow beyond the point of coming to the house of God constantly hiding. It's amazing how you can come to a crowd to hide. You will come to the assembly to hide and don't let people see the real you. I'm going to tell you something, y'all. Hell is real. And the devil ain't playing with us. I got to a point in my life, I'm not playing church no more. I don't care if y'all see me cry. I don't care if y'all see me limp. I don't care if y'all see me struggle, because I came for heaven. I came to meet the Lord. And if you can't handle the fact that me being anointed, I still got some issues. I'm Holy Ghost filled, but I get frustrated. I love the Lord with my whole heart, but sometimes I catch hell, and I'm not embarrassed about saying, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If you withdraw yourself from me, there's nowhere else for me to go. I don't know about you today, y'all, but I'm tired of playing church. I want to be the church. Can I tell the truth today, y'all? Christians suffer. Christians go through. Christians bleed. We get sick. We have issues, and we need, and nobody but another believer ought to know how to help other believers. And it's time out, child of God. It's time out. Hold me, Lord. It's time out for acting like you got it together. Pretending because you don't want, but guess what? Them folks in the world know your business and you don't care. At least go to somebody who can help you. At least go to somebody who can pray for you. And God's word to us, if we're willing to receive it, if we do this right, Lord, hold me today. If we do this right, not just do it,
but do it. We will win. Can I tell somebody something today? If you belong to God, we already got the victory. Can anybody receive that in your spirit now? It may not look like it. It may not sound like it. It may not feel like it. But Christ already handled and gave me victory on the cross. So I can, even though it don't feel good, I got the victory. But let me help you now. You and I can win before we go to heaven. I'm not waiting till I cross over Jordan to give God praise. I'm not waiting till I get over Chili Jordan and say I made it. I want to win now. I want a breakthrough now. I want provision now. I want power now. I want winning now. It's not God's will. It's not God's will that we keep being broke all the time, being losers all the time. God has given us the power to win. He said, you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. If we do this right, I didn't come to preach, I came to teach, really. If we do this right, if we do this right, I'm trying to get there, but I got, if we just do this right, stop making up stuff. Stop going through the motions. Hear what God got to say and get some real victory. Stop doing it your way. Hear somebody. Connect with somebody. Love somebody. And we all can win. God's word to somebody today is, it was never designed for you to try to do it by yourself. God already put people in your life to help you win. But we done got so stubborn, so selfish, so arrogant, all because we don't understand the we concept of ministry. God ain't just save you for you. God saved you to help somebody else be saved. In our text today, we're talking about the children of Israel. The children of Israel who in chapter 13 have left out of Egyptian bondage. Problem of it is, beloved, they're out of Egypt. Egypt ain't out of them. Try it over here. Brought them out through the deliverer of Moses. They're out, but Egypt is still in them. If I was messy today, I would say that most of us are, we've been brought to a better place, but that stuff is still in us. Truth of it is, for some of us, your body is here with us. But your mind is still on the other. You just waiting on the benediction to go back. Because even though you've been brought out, you have not walked out. See, the problem we have with Christianity and walking with God is that God deliver you from stuff, but until you want to be out of it, it ain't going to get out of you. And see, some stuff, if you don't walk away from it, it'll never leave you. Different sermon, different day. See how y'all shut down right there? Because coming to church ain't going to deliver you. Because you ain't got a made-up mind to be better and to be different and to walk in wholeness, you're going to be the same disturbed, defeated individual that you are. Just because you sitting up here don't make you, to mean you free. Because if you were really free, just thinking about the goodness of Jesus, just having another chance to be in God's house, you have your hands lifted, we wouldn't even be able to preach. But because we ain't got out of it yet. So the children of Israel are they've been brought out of bondage. Chapter 14, they cross the Red Sea. Moses the deliverer takes a rod and sticks the rod out of the water, and the waters split, divide. People of God are able to walk through it on dry land. That's another miracle. Not that they crossed over, but they crossed over on dry land. I say it was a Red Sea that's wet. But when God is in the business, that God even makes stuff smooth that's supposed to be difficult. Y'all will catch that sometime later. They cross over on dry land, but when the enemy was coming after them, the waters came back and drowned who's trying to take them out. Now, that should have been enough to tell the people of God, It's all right. Chapter 15, they go to a place, they celebrate for a while, then they go to this place where they have to, in Marah, where they have some bitter water. The water don't taste good, but they free. So no matter, sometimes you're going to be free, but still got to deal with life. But see, be careful. You'll know if you really delivered or not if when stuff don't go your way. You'll know how mature you are is how you handle when it don't go your way. See, right now, when your check come through, cool. Good doctor report, cool. He come home finally, cool. But when it don't go your way, what do you say? How do you act? Do you pout? You get mad? You getting your feelings? Or do you say, yet I will trust in God no matter what happens to me? No, you don't. No, you don't. You got to be careful about your tendencies, because the Egypt is in you still, and it'll show up when you don't get your way. And every time something go the way that people of God wanted to go, they always wish for better days in the past. They start saying it'd have been better if we'd have stayed in Egypt, because at least we would have had to deal with no bitter water. Every time something didn't go their way, every time they met some discomfort, every time they met something they couldn't handle, they start longing for those days. It amazes me how God, in his guidance, I'll never figure this out, how God will choose to bring people out who don't want to be out. It baffles me how God deliver folk who really don't want it. God just chose these people to be his people, knowing they wouldn't go act like his people. Maybe it's because today God sees us who say we his people and still don't act all the time like we his people. Seems like every time God moves them, he said, because I'm taking you out of Egypt to the promised land. And here's what I need you to hear today. The people of God are going somewhere. Missed it. The people of God are going somewhere. Come over here to my. The people of God are going somewhere. And just because you're going somewhere don't mean the enemy wants you going somewhere. Everybody's not going to be happy that you're going somewhere. And just because you're going somewhere don't mean life won't happen. And don't let what you're dealing with right now cause you to forget you're going somewhere. There's a promise attached to you. And if you get hung up complaining about bitter water, you'll never get to your promise. If you keep complaining about food and drink, you'll never get to your promise. And somebody today has stopped walking. You stopped living because you forgot about your promise and you worried about your present. They start complaining about the water. They throw a stick in the water, made sweet. Then they want to make a praise song. They want to celebrate because they got their way. And after a while, y'all, we got to understand something, that really, when you do God's will, you won't always get your way. The goal is for us to be more like Jesus, not for Jesus to be more like us. And God in this season is not raising up a bunch of spoiled brats who has got to be their way. God is looking for people who broke and are still blessing. God is looking for people who are in pain who are still praising. God is looking for people who got every reason not to glorify him, but will still glorify him. God is looking for people who say, even when I don't have a reason, he is the reason I'll still bless his name. Is there anybody in Zion who say, no matter what happens to me, I will still bless the Lord at... Chapter 16, they move forward. They complain in the wilderness because they ain't got nothing to eat or drink. In chapter 16, Moses said, look here, Lord, you hear your folks? He said, I'll tell you what you do. You tell them, if they just hold on, I got some manna. It's going to be some miracle bread. And I got some quail that's going to fly in their lap. God fed his people through miraculous means. They ate it, they saved it, and still complained. Everything God, they complained about, God met the need. And instead of them realizing God goes supply our need, they continue to complain. It's done got uncomfortable, hasn't it? Because somebody, if you listen to this word right, you can recall how good God been. And then you think about the stuff you done said to God this week. You done doubted him. You've murmured about him because he ain't came when you thought he ought to come. He ain't come in the way you think he ought to come. And think about some stuff you've thought and said concerning your God. And then think about how good God been to you over your life. Don't it make you shame? I came to challenge today. That's okay. Look at me stupid. That's fine. Chapter 17, we move forward. They're at the place called Rephidim. Place called resting place. Rephidim. Can the church say Rephidim? They come to Rephidim now. Now remember, they're not stopping in Rephidim. They're headed to the promised land. But they're making stops along the journey. You got to understand something. Not only will God ordain your steps, but he'll ordain your stops. Y'all catch that sometime for the week over with. Y'all make me work way too hard for a Sunday morning. He'll ordain not only your steps, but your stops. They're in Rephidim now, and they complain. Now, God done fed them in 16. Now they say we thirsty. We ain't got no water. Moses, the leader, gets frustrated because, Lord, I know you hear them. And then there's some kind of talk about stoning Moses because they're just tired of going through. Here it is. The people of God say, we know we're going to come out, but why we got to keep going through? Come here. Come here. Y'all know God going to take care of you. You don't understand why you got to keep going through. You know God going to fight that battle, but you mad because you don't want to go through a process. Somebody in this world, in this room right now, is looking for easy life. You're looking for smooth sailing. You don't want nobody messing with you. You want your body to feel good. You want everybody to love you. You want everything to go well. You want every I dot and every T cross. You know God gonna handle it, but you mad because God keep taking you through stuff. Because you don't understand that God is really developing you. You don't want to be developed. You feel like I'm good. I got all right now. Enough of this. I know. Okay, I got it. You ain't gotta teach me no more. I got it, girl. I know you're gonna fight my battle. Please don't have me have no more battles. I know you hear me. Please let me stop getting sick. I know you provide. Please stop letting me go broke. You're frustrated with God because you know on the end, he going to take care of it. But why I got to go through this in the meantime? And all you end up doing is murmuring and complaining. Now, what was interesting to me, and ministry teaches you this, they never complain to God. Y'all went crazy over here. Let me come over here. They mad. They hostile. They are belligerent. $2 word mean they mad. But they never complain to God. They complain to who God sent to lead them. Now when Moses strikes the rock, when Moses puts the rod over the water and let him lead them over, they don't say, thank you, Moses. When Moses prayed that God will feed and the quail comes and the manna comes, they don't say, appreciate that, Moses. Thank you for being in position to help provide for us. But when it's trouble, Moses, you. I ain't making this up. They never appreciate Moses, but they constantly antagonize. And part of Christian leadership is being okay with being antagonized and very little be appreciated. Because ultimately, you're a mediator between God and his people. Which means you got to take the good, which ain't a whole lot, but a whole lot of the bad. You go from being a leader to a complaint department. And Moses trying to weigh and hear from God about where to take the people next and hearing them in the background murmuring and complaining. That's pressure because he's trying to hear from God and ignore what he's hearing from them. and still love them and lead them, and they complain about where you're taking them, and then hear from God about take them there next. God, why I got to keep taking them, and you know how they go act. You just do what I say and trust me. But listen to how they talking about stoning me. They having a meeting on me. They talking about firing me. But if I put you there, then I got to be the one to fire you. They just go keep, you just got to learn how to ignore that complaining. I'm going somewhere in a minute. They're in Rephidim now, and he says, take that rod, strike a rock. Water go come out. Them folks, all they complaining, they didn't say, thank you, Moses. Whew, we sure needed that drink of water. They wouldn't guzzle all that water. Ain't tell God thank you. Ain't tell Moses thank you. But guzzle that water. It's starting to make me wonder, and I don't mean a bit of harm, and I'm more convinced than ever that the children of Israel have a lot in common with us and our ethnicity. Because we love to beg, and we'll love to take it, and don't appreciate nothing people do for us. When we don't have it, we complain about it. When we get it, we don't appreciate it. Lord, have mercy. Lord, give us a bigger church. Get a bigger church. Ooh, it's too much to clean. It's always something to complain about. But now God say, okay, well, since they can't understand my provision, I'm going to let them handle opposition. The Bible says now that, but there's a prescription for victory. There's a way to get victory. Because the last time they had an enemy, God handled it that way. But in chapter 17, they got an enemy, and God go handle it a different way. So if we're going to do it right today and win, the first thing we must understand is how to evaluate the situation. Bible, y'all got your Bible open still? Bible says in verse number 8, then came Amalek. Missed it. They're still in Rephidim, drinking that water. And not knowing that there's a group of people who have heard about God's people on the move. And they're trying to stop their movement. You want to know today why you're catching so many enemies, why you're catching so much opposition? It's because you're moving. Can I help somebody today? Dogs don't run after parked cars. Y'all will catch that sometime before the week over with. If you wasn't doing nothing, they wouldn't be chasing you. But because you are moving, because you are progressing, because you are trying, because you are working, because you are worshiping, because you are living, because you are loving, you ought to expect enemies to be on your trail. But folks who ain't doing nothing, and they ain't never got no enemy, because they ain't doing nothing. But when you're moving, when you're trying, when you're attempting to go where God says go, prepare yourself for enemies. Watch this. The Bible said, then came Amalek and fought Israel in Rephidim. Now, I thought this place was a place of rest. But now it's gone from a place of rest to a place of attack. And what happens when I done got comfortable somewhere, and here come trouble where I done got comfortable? Sometimes God will send some attacks to your comfortable place because that's not where you're supposed to stay. That's where I got y'all to get some water and some rest, but this is not where I want y'all to reside. There's a difference between getting some rest, and there's a difference between getting residence, and some of y'all stuck in your place because you ain't got comfortable. But God ain't call you to be comfortable. God calls you to conquer. God calls you to go to Canaan. I got more promise for you. I've got more victory for you, but you gotta be willing to move away from here. I like this, y'all, because you got to evaluate. Somebody somewhere got to have some sense and evaluate the situation because we're under attack. That's the reality. The situation is God's people are under attack. Beloved, on this 17th day of May 2026, I still stand and declare that the people of God are still under attack. Don't you get it twisted. You may have a good job, but we're under attack. You may got some money, but we're still under attack. You may have a nice house, but we're still under attack. You can't go to sleep now. You got to be ready because the devil is walking to and fro like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And some of y'all done got so satisfied that you ain't recognize the enemy trying to take you out. I like this, y'all. Can I tell you why I like it? The Bible says it's not just anybody attacking. It's Amalek. Can the church say Amalek? Amalek are the descendants of Esau. Y'all are catching for the week over. Amalek are the descendants of Esau. The children of Israel are descendants of Jacob. Come on. You remember, Jacob and Esau are brothers. I'm going to try it again. Here it is. God's people have been brought out. The children of Jacob, or children of Israel, have been brought out of bondage. They're moving toward a promise because God got a promise for Jacob that Esau tried to take. Y'all, and for generations, Esau been trying to take Jacob's promise. Tell your neighbor, it be your own people. Amalek, the descendants of Esau, are trying to attack the descendants of Jacob because the descendants of Jacob are going further than the descendants of Esau. It's your own folks. It's the spirit of the devil working through people who look like you. What do you do when you see cousins coming after you? What do you do when you see somebody supposed to be my brother and sister coming after me? What do you do when it's supposed to be somebody you tried to help, but now they're trying to hurt you? What do you do when it's people you don't try to hug and love on, and now they're stabbed you in the back? What do you do when you only know how to handle who your opposition is? And you got to evaluate this properly and then deal with your heartbreak from who it is that's hurting you, trying to hurt you. Because until 1 Samuel 30, this is going to be a constant opposition. Amalek keeps showing up when you're making progress. Uh-oh. Is somebody in your life right now trying to bring you back to what they remember when? Yeah. Is somebody in this room under the sound of my voice, is when you start making progress with your life, here comes somebody you used to run with trying to bring up your past because they see your future. And they don't want you walking in your future, so they keep bringing up your past and trying to bring you down so you won't keep moving. See, they know they're a loser. They know they can only go so far, so they'll try to stop you from going far by bringing up stuff from y'all's past. But can I bless somebody? If God had me whip you then, God gonna help me whip you now. No weapon formed against me will be able to prosper, and every tongue that arises against me in judgment, he will condemn. Let them talk. Let them plot. Let them be messy. God will fight your battle. Yes, he will. Evaluate it. Bible says Amalek is attacking. They come down. They over. They come to attack God. See it? They fought with Israel in Rephidim. It's the evaluation. Moses goes to seek out. He seeks out God. God, what we do with this situation? Because the last time Pharaoh and his army were chasing us, you told us to do one thing. But I may have a different situation, but I got the same solution. Who am I talking to in this church? Just because your situation has changed don't mean your solution has changed. Jesus Christ yesterday, Jesus Christ today, and Jesus forever. I may have a different dilemma, but I got the same deliverer. If he can bring me through that, he'll bring me through this. Moses prays, ask God what to do. Y'all ready? Can I push it? And once you evaluate the strategy, now you got to employ the strategy. Because God is strategic about what he does. Now be careful. God did not let them fight battles based on their feelings. It's dangerous to let your emotions dictate how to handle something spiritual. Now watch this, y'all. Can I help you today? It feels physical and natural, but it's really spiritual. So don't let what you feel cause you to dictate how you handle it. You got to get on your knees and trust God, and don't let your anger dictate it. Don't let your frustration dictate it, because the weapons of all warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through the pulling down of strongholds against every principality or thing working against God. Don't let what you feel dictate how you handle it, because we want victory, don't we? Watch this now. I don't want revenge. I want victory. Ooh, I want, so who can God, is God getting anybody? I don't want to get you back. I want to win. Because when God lets you win, that your enemies will sit at your table and watch you eat. So sometimes it's not with the absence of your enemy. Sometimes it's in the presence of your enemy. So I don't want God to kill nobody who God wants to witness my breakthrough. I don't want to get rid of somebody who could be a part of my story. I don't want revenge. I want victory. Woo! Let me quit. I got to push this thing. I ain't worried about retribution. I want to win. And I'm not going to get you back, not because I'm scared. I'm not going to cuss you back, not because I'm scared. I want victory. And I'm not going to forfeit my victory with a little mess like this.
They're attacking
Israel. But Israel don't handle, watch this, Amalek. How Amalek handled Israel. You see, somebody got to be the people to show folk how to go through. We all got to deal with the high gas prices, but there's a certain way we ought to deal with gas prices. We all got to deal with inflation, but there's a certain way God's people handle inflation. We don't act like the world act. We don't get on Facebook and get stupid like the world act. We know how to get on our knees and say God will still provide and God gonna take care of us because we're gonna get the victory. Do I have anybody in God's house who want victory and don't want to go viral? I ain't worried about going viral. I want to have victory. I don't need a bunch of likes. I need the victory. I don't need nobody pumping me up. I need the victory. Yeah. Watch this. Let me quit. Now we got to employ the strategy. Because God got a strategy after we looked at the situation. And since we looked at the situation properly, now we can handle the strategy properly. He told Moses, Moses, go to Joshua. This is the first time we hear Joshua in Scripture. First time Joshua is mentioned in Scripture, he's going to be a part of the victory. Now watch this. New Zion ain't go like this, but the people of God go like this. Because Moses got to go talk to his replacement. So that we may go get the victory. Y'all missed it. I told you, my church ain't gonna like this today, but God's people who hearing this go like this, that you gotta be, if I want victory so bad, I can't be insecure and not reach out to somebody younger. Joshua was a young warrior, but Moses is a spiritual prophet. And I gotta take your strength with my wisdom so we can have the victory. But now God had already showed me, me one day, but I can't be so insecure that I won't train up my replacement. Now watch this. How are we gonna have victory if Moses never talked to Joshua? Ooh. Watch this. He goes to Joshua to command and to challenge him. He doesn't go to Joshua to condemn him. Too many of us can't get victory. We can't get victory in the church, can't get victory in the community because you're condemning your replacement because you know they're your replacement. And sometimes we can't get the victory because Moses don't know when to leave. Can I help somebody? The reason why somebody giving you so much hell because they see what's in you. And what's in you is a challenge to them. And they want to subdue you. They want to shut you down. They want to silence you because every time they see you, they know their days are numbered in their position. Long as I don't talk to Joshua, the countdown don't begin. But once I get Joshua started in ministry, we're on the countdown for me not being in charge no more. So let me ignore him. Let me condemn him. Because if I enlist him, I'm supposed to be encouraging, imparting. But now if I do that, they go see I'm not that important. They go see someone else who can get something done. Watch this. God tells Moses, the leader, to go get someone else to fight. Your role won't be fighting. Your role will be interceding. You go to your area. He gonna go to his area. But if both of y'all manifest and do the best in your area, we'll get the victory. And if he in his area and you in your area, ain't no overlapping in areas. But we all on the same team. We just got different functions. Who am I? Am I preaching all right in here, y'all? Don't play crazy, Moses. Act like you don't see him because I told you who to go talk to. Go to Joshua. That we got to get the young people involved. Because they got some strength that we don't have. But we got some wisdom they may not have. But if we connect together with my wisdom and his spirit, his strength, man, we're going to have the victory. Because he won't just be fighting foolish. He'll know who to fight and how to fight. See, these young people are using what God gave them, but because ain't nobody mentoring them, ain't nobody taking time with them, they fighting the wrong battles and fighting the wrong enemy. Because somebody need to help lead them and nurture them and give them some wisdom so we all can get the victory. But I can't do that if I'm threatened. They matter. They're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of now. Now, this is killing Baptist church. I'm killing Baptist church tradition. Because for so long, we were just told as kids, go sit in the back and leave us alone. Church is for us. Y'all go to the back. And if y'all cut up, you go sit with me. But other than that, y'all stay in the back. Because church is for us. It's for me to shout. It's for me to sing. For me to preach. That's why. Next Sunday, I'm going to be Moses and have a Joshua speak. That's why last year I was a Moses and had a Joshua speak. That's why a couple years ago I was Moses and had a Joshua back there speak. Because I ain't here to stay. But hopefully I'll put something in somebody that they can stand and say something about Jesus too. I'm still a pastor, even though I let them go fight some stuff. He finna go to Tennessee. He over in Natchitoches. She in Greg. They trying to do some stuff. But I can't be so insecure and not push them forward. Somebody shout glory in this place. We ain't got time to wait on them to get older. We need them now. We need their gifts now. We need their strength now. We need their power now. Hey, watch this. If we do this right, they won't leave and go in the wilderness and then come back to church where y'all toe down like us. They will stay with God in their 20s. They'll stay with God in their late 20s. They'll stick with God in their early 30s. They will have to go through some of the stuff we went through and then come back because some of us, the only reason we came back wasn't nowhere else to go but church. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Y'all see it? Watch this. He says, go back to verse 9. Verse 9, he says, Joshua, you go down. Take some men, go down to Amalek tomorrow. I'm going to be at the top of the hill. Y'all go down there and fight. I'm going to be at the top of the hill. Y'all go down there and fight. Watch this. Go get you some men. Don't go get everybody. Because everybody can't fight. Can I help somebody today? Stop taking people to fights who can't fight. Hello. I'm with you. I'm ride or die. How many times you done died and ain't rose yet? Then they pumped you up. Now they got their phone watching you get your tail toe up. The Marauders. How come y'all keep riding to the emergency room? Because you got the wrong people. Some people just, that ain't their area. They just talkers. Let me help you today. Real fighters don't do all that talking. Say something else. Say something else. Put that on everything. I say one more thing. On God. They ain't gonna do nothing. They ain't doing that talking. Real gangsters just need space. Debo, what happened? Take some people who can fight. Down there and fight. I'm going to be on top of the hill. Not running from it, presiding over it. Watch this. I'm going to go on the hill to not interrupt what you're doing. I'm going to be watching you, but I'm going to be watching from a different position. I'm going to let you go do you. Go to verse 10. I like verse 10. Can I tell you why I like verse 10? Can I tell you why? So Joshua did. Lord have mercy. What a novel idea in Exodus chapter 17 to do what your leader told you to do. What can the church say? Wow. Biblical evidence that somebody did